Have your Bibles with you this morning. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Pastor Ron was talking about do it again. And I really believe that is prophetic for our church. I believe God's done great things, but I believe he's going to do even greater things, and he's going to minister very, very powerfully to us. But he's going to do that through individual moves of God in my life and in your life. How many of you know that when the church experiences a move of God, it's got to start in you? Got to start in me. In other words, that's an individual thing. This is not something that God's going to open up heaven and just pour out on the church or on a city or on a region or a country. It's going to have to start right in here. See, the move of God comes from within, because greater is he that is what? In you. In you. Say in me. In me. Greater is he that is in you. So we realize that the move of God has to come from within. Taught many, many, many times, you are the hands of God. You're the feet of God. You're the mouthpiece of God. You're the one that's going to do the walking, the talking, and the feeling for God. And so when we have a move of God, it's not going to be just poured out and nobody expecting it. It's going to be when people hungrily seek the will of God in their life. When people really want the will of God. When people begin to pray, God, not my will, but your will be done. Father, I want you to just let your will operate in me and through me. And that's when we're going to have a move of God. And let me tell you something. A move of God doesn't affect just one church. I promise you, it'll affect this. So if we have a move of God at Go-To Church, it's going to affect this entire city. If we have a move of God, it's going to affect this entire city. And so what we need to do is we need to realize this individually. How many of you know that sometimes it just takes a move of God to get things straightened out? You know, just to get things. I've experienced things in my life that I recognized about halfway through it. It was going to take a move of God for me to come out of it. Amen? And so we have to have these things, but it's got to start individually. It must start with one person. And when it does, it will affect the entire church and then the entire city. And the Bible says in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to read 3 or 4 little verses. But in the second chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided or cloven tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the end of the Feast of Weeks, 49 days had passed, 50 days was here, the end of the Feast of Weeks had come. And they were all in one accord. Not a Honda. Good one. They were all in one accord. They were all together, and they were in this upper room. And the church was about to experience a move of God like it had never seen before. I mean, things were about to happen. How many of you know that if we experience the same things over and over and over, after a while you got to wonder, is that really a move of God? I don't know about you, but I'm at the place in my life where I want to experience something different. I want God to do something different. I want to know it's God. I want to know what's God. Some of the things that I remember coming up that I questioned, is this really real? And one of the things that I questioned was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, the anointing with oil, laying hands on the sick, casting out. I questioned all that. Did anybody else question that sort of stuff? I mean, we questioned those things, and I began to question, okay, if this is really real, and I began to pray, and I went into a long season. I don't know how long it was, but I do remember it was several weeks long that I kept praying, and I said, I'm going to keep praying and fasting until God answers my prayer. And my prayer was very simple. Lord, if this baptism in the Holy Spirit thing is real, I want to experience it. I just want to experience. Or either get it out of my system. Well, I'm not seeking it any longer. I just got to know if it's real. And if it's real, then it's for everyone. I know you don't show favoritism. So it's for everyone. And if it's real, I really want to experience it. And there were several weeks. I don't know how long it was, but there were several weeks, three, maybe four. I don't remember. But I do remember this. I was in the Methodist church, and I was preaching in a little church in South Alabama, a revival. And just before I went into the pulpit, the Lord changed my sermon and said, I want you to go back to Acts and preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sounds good to me. Especially when you're preaching to a bunch of staunch Methodists back in those days. Not you guys. But are you? But I'm thinking, I'm going to do this. And all I ask you to do, Lord, is favor me. And give me favor. Don't let me get out on a limb and make a big fool out of myself. And so I just taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what it wound up being, are you willing to yield your will to His will? Are you willing to yield your will to His will? And I guess about 15 minutes, maybe, or a little bit longer, into the sermon, they were nice people. They set a glass of water up on the podium like they used to do when evangelists come to town. And they had that glass of water. And the Lord just spoke into my spirit and said, now, you got to remember, I'm from South Alabama. He said, fling that water. You see, a lot of people don't know what fling means. I know I flung stuff. Come on. So I reached and I grabbed that glass of water. And I just... First thing come in my mind is, God, let that be you. Not me. But I threw that water. And it was amazing. It was kind of like it just separated and got into little drops. And it just seemed like it went further than I anticipated it going. And it just seemed like it just kept going and kept going. And then it all began to fall. And every person that water fell on started speaking in tongues. Lifted their hands, started speaking in tongues, or either fell out of the pew into the floor. Oh, now listen. Let me tell you something. You can't make stuff like this up. And so when I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be in big trouble over this. This is, the superintendent will hear about all of this. But it just didn't seem to matter. But that was my first experience, and I didn't even get to speak in tongues. Everybody else did, but I didn't get to. So I'm going home that night, and I said, it dawned on me. Everybody experienced this but me, and this was supposed to be for me. I'm the one been fasting and praying, and I got out of the car, stopped the car. I got out of the car, and I walked around. It's dark. Walked around the car a couple of times just praying. And I just, the Holy Spirit just fell on me, and I experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right there, the Holy Spirit, I really felt it. From that point on, you cannot make me doubt it's real. I hadn't just heard about it. I experienced it. Are you with me? Now see, these people in that upper room had an experience with God that no one else had had before. They had, and it had to be God. It had to be real. And here, this is, now I know there's a lot of people, and I've taught it this way. There's a lot of people say, "Well, I don't want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I don't want to speak in tongues." Well, don't worry, you won't. I promise you, God is a gentleman, and He's not going to put something on you don't want. So you just got to recognize that. But these people experienced a move of God in that upper room like the church had never seen before. You know what I believe? He's going to do it again. I don't have any water, so y'all don't worry. But listen, He's going to do it again. He's done it before, and He's going. I believe that in the last day, as the prophet spoke, in the last day He's going to pour out His Spirit. Come on, He's going to pour out His Spirit. And our sons and our daughters are going to prophesy. You know what I believe? I believe that we're living in that last day. I believe that God has brought us to that place. Listen, we will never work this out. We're in such a mess, we will never, ever, ever be able to work everything out that's going on in this world today. You know, I thought about it, and there's no one in this building that, I'm just telling you, I believe that when things begin to move in our government, and you can look back over the history in the Bible, when the government began to legalize abortion, God always sent a Savior. Always sent a Savior. If He, if they legalize, or if they commanded that abortion be made, if they kill babies, God's going to send a Savior. And I believe that in this day, don't think that the abortion laws that have been passed in this country hasn't hit heaven yet. They know all about it. God knows all about it. How many of you remember when they were on TV and they showed where these legislatures began to clap and laugh and dance when the law was passed? My heart broke, and I began to think, here I am, a man that my righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. How do you think it affected a righteous God that has no wrong in His line? Listen, I'm telling you, whether you can have any opinion you want to have on abortion, that's up to you. But I can tell you this, it's not godly. It's against the Word of God. And we got to realize that as long as we're going in this direction, God's going to have to help us through this thing. And what it's going to take, it's going to take a move of God. It's going to take a move of God to work us out of this. And the move of God is going to have to come from us individually. It's not going to be able to come corporately. It's going to come individually. And when we look at this particular passage of Scripture, we're going to see that this move of God came on the church, and a lot had happened leading up to it. There had been 50 days. And the Bible says that Jesus kept appearing and reappearing, appearing and for 40 days He appeared and reappeared, appeared and reappeared. He did many miracles in the presence of His disciples. He kept appearing and reappearing. And in John 20:30 and 31, the Bible says, after listing some of the things that Jesus did during that 40 days, the Bible says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in him, you may have life in his name. Listen to this, church. The thing you and I must believe today before you walk out of this building is, number one, you got to believe in Jesus Christ. You got to believe he is the Son of God. You got to believe in him. And you got to believe. Someone asked me, just, I think it was Jim Barino, or someone asked me this week, said, do you believe everything, every word that's written in this book? Emphatically, yes. Hear me. Every word that is written in this book, I believe it. I believe every word. And not only that, I believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. And you know, sometimes God gives us miracles that we will be able to believe. He will show us something that we can, that will cause our faith to grow. He will give us something, a nugget or something in our study time or in our prayer life, and it'll cause our faith to grow. And every time your faith grows, then his will becomes stronger than your will. See, you have faith in him. And so that means that your faith begins to look. It's kind of like that in the Old Testament story, the guy going out into the water, he gets out, he wades out ankle deep, and you know the story, he goes out knee deep, and after a while he's in water to swim in. Well, if you're in ankle deep water, people see more of you than they do of Jesus Christ. So what we got to do is get in water to swim in. We got to move out into that place that we're not worried about what people think. You know what I really believe? I believe that we have gotten to a place that we fear man more than we fear God. I believe we really fear man more than we fear God. We don't have that godly fear like we're supposed to have. We don't have the fear of God. It's kind of like we're just going to live any way we want to live. And when the time comes, hopefully we get things right. Well, let me tell you something. The time is coming. The time is coming. Listen, in John, the 14th chapter, beginning with the first verse, it says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe you also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go and prepare a place for you. This is Jesus speaking. All right, now watch this. In my Father's house are many rooms, many homes, many mansions, whatever you want to say, and I go and prepare a place for you. When in first century Judaism, when a man took a woman to be his wife, he would go and he would propose, they would come betrothed. And this would last normally about a year. They were engaged about a year. And so what he would do is he would go and he would pay the dowry. I need to talk with my son-in-law about that. I never remember getting. But he would go and he would pay the dowry because the father was going to have to hire the work that the daughter had been doing. So he had to compensate for that. So he would go and he would pay the dowry. And then he would go home. And on his father's house, he would start building his house. And he would build his house connected to the Father's house, to his Father's house. That's the reason Jesus said that he goes to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And see, he was talking to Jews. They understood what he was saying. He said, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And this was not uncommon to them. He says, you know, I'm going to go and prepare, just like in real life. You know, Jesus referred to himself as the groom and the church as the bride. Let me tell you something. He paid the price for you and I. He paid the dowry. Amen. He paid the price. It was the price of blood. He paid the price for you and I. He's gone now to prepare a place for us. Now, watch this. This is so unusual. When he begins to build the house, he doesn't decide when he's coming back after his bride. His Father does. Don't you remember when they asked Jesus, said, when are you coming back again? He said, I don't know. No one knows. Only my Father. Except the Father. Remember? Because he's one going to send him back. So when he gets the house built and he's got enough of money, then he's going to say, go get your bride. You know, we have these people that are preaching end times, and they'll say, Jesus has come in such and such. They don't know. If anybody ever tells, or I hear them preaching, and they say, Jesus is coming a particular time, I just turn them off. Because they'll mislead you. Because Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming back. All he's doing is preparing the place. He's building our house. And once our house is built, and the Father says, now go get your bride. Then is when Jesus is going to come back. Only the Father knows that. See, what we need to recognize is God has this whole thing under control. He's got it all worked out. Listen, we don't have to worry about how we're going to get there. We don't have to worry about what your home is going to be like. Jesus has prepared a place that just for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many homes, many houses, and I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come back and get you. And I really believe that one day, it's just like in a Jewish family, when the father would go in and they'd see that the house was completed, he would say, son, I think it's time you go get your bride. Whenever that would be, I do not know. But I know that when my house and your house and all the houses are completed that God is preparing for us, he's going to say, son, go get your bride. I don't know about you. There's some men that don't like to be called the bride. There's some men just don't like that. But just remember this. All the women are sons. All the women are sons. We're all sons of God. That's what the word said. So we gotta realize that we're the bride of Christ. And when God gets our place ready, he's going to send his son Jesus after his bride, and we're going to move into the house, and we're going to be the bride of the house. Oh, listen, church, if you think you're just going to be a spook floating around, you got another thought coming, because God has something for you to do. You're going to be kings and priests and governors, and you're going to rule countries, and you're going to rule nations, and there's going to be things for us to do. It's not just a sit down and do nothing. The problem is we've sat down and done nothing here for so long that we think when we get to heaven, we can do the same thing. It's not going to work that way. I want you to tap somebody on your shoulder and say, get ready to go to work. Get ready to go to work. The Bible says that the church at that time, they're in this upper room, and the church has never had this kind of move of God. And I'm going to fast forward to today. And I want you to hear me when I say this. If we've ever needed a move of God, it's now. We need it now. Hey, can I tell you something? Things are crazy. I mean, I tell you, young people, I would not want to be in your position to have to raise children today. I'm sorry. I come up in an era that my dad, if we did something wrong, he just beat the devil out of us. And we'd usually quit that sometimes. And I kind of like raised my sons that way. I didn't my daughter, because she never needed it. But my sons, I did. Now you can't handle the family the way they used to handle the family. Yeah, it's different. And so we look at the family today, and we need a move of God. We need a move of God because they're subject to so many different things that we never thought about. But yet today it's commonplace. And we've got to realize that the young children today have more to deal with than we ever had to deal with. And we got to recognize that it's going to take a move of God to, and we need one now. We need one now. You know, every time, and I look back over my ministry, I look back over my life, and every time I was at my lowest ebb, God sent me a move. God always come through for me. Just when I thought it'd never work out, just when I thought it was all over with, God would send an answer to me. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a move of God in my life. I'm ready for a move of God in my family. I need a move of God in my family. I need a move of God in my life. I need a move of God in my church. I need a move of God in my city. I need a move of God. It's time you and I begin to pray for a move of God. We need to pray that God will move. We need to, instead of trying to pray for knowledge of God, we need to pray for a move of God. You can have all the knowledge in the world and miss a move of God. I look at where we're at today, and I see that we need such a, more than ever, we need a move of God. You see, the church lives for and thrives on the next move of God. You know, there was a time when our Seminoles were pretty good football team, and usually beat everybody that played. They play that other team in Florida. I don't know their name. Don't want to mention it. But they're blue and orange. And I remember that we just beat them up for about 6 years. And then they beat us up for about 6 years. And then we beat them up. But during that 6 years, we'd always say, you know, if it wasn't for next year, we wouldn't have a football team. Are you with me? Listen, we need a move of God. We need for something to happen right now in our church, in our home, in our lives, in individually, corporately. We need a move of God. We need for something to happen because we thrive on the next move of God. I got to know that there's going to be a move of God coming. I really believe if this is as good as it's going to get, I believe that we gotta quit waiting. We gotta initiate some things. Years ago, I used this example, and I use it again. I was brought up in Panama City, and went to school over there, went to college over, went to Gulf Coast, and we went to the beach a lot. And when we went to the beach, we thought we were surfers. And we did pretty good for what we had. We didn't have the waves that they had in other parts of the world, but we just, and you know what we'd do? We'd get out there, we'd paddle out, and we'd sit out there and we'd wait till the right wave came. And then we'd start paddling, and we'd get ahead of the break, and then we'd stand up, and we'd just ride it, and we'd ride it just as long as it would take us. And then when it quit, we'd paddle back out, and we'd wait on the next wave. This is where we are in the church. We're just waiting on the next wave. I gotta tell you this. I believe it's time you and I kind of take on the responsibility. Remember, I told you that the Lord had woke me up with individual responsibility. We are individually responsible for the church. No matter what you look at, we are for the teaching of it. For everyone, we're individually responsible. And I remember the story of Peter when he was, they were in the middle of a storm. And so Jesus comes walking to them on the water, and they thought it was a ghost. And he said, don't fear, it's just me. Don't worry. And so Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come walking to you on the water. Lord, if it's you. Now, a lot of people think, well, anybody could walk on water if Jesus told them to. But that come out of Peter. Right. See, sometimes you got to initiate the move of God in your life. Right. See, Peter was about to have a move of God. But he had to initiate it. We sit around and wait for it to happen. But God says, you got to get up and move. You got to take action. I don't know. I believe God's going to do some things in this last day like we've never seen before. I believe the power of God is going to be so great. And I believe that we are going to see and hear our sons and our daughters prophesy. I do believe that. And I do believe that we are living in that last day. And I believe that a lot of people think that you don't hear many sermons on end times. You know why? Because people think you're fanatical. You know why? Because some people just can't quite grasp that it's going to happen. They think you're a little bit fanatical. But let me tell you this, our old time, you're old fashioned if you preach that way. We might as well get accustomed to this. If that word is true, then Jesus Christ is coming again. If there's any part of that Bible that is true, all of it is true. And if it's true, Jesus Christ is coming again. We can sit around and make out like he's not coming, but hear me. He's coming again. He will come again. And when he comes, he's going to receive the bride unto himself. Listen, church. I don't use scare tactics at all. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. I use the Holy Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit ministers to you and he starts touching and massaging your heart, you need to respond to him. I don't know about you, but if I was sitting in this building this morning and I did not know if I had accepted truly Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, or if I had walked away or had been pulled out by some this, that, or the other, I would not leave this building until I was totally confident and fully aware that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and he is coming again, and I'm going to be ready for him when he comes. You know, if we do nothing else but win souls to Jesus Christ, then we've done what we're called to do. Stand up with me. Cloven tongues, anointing, gifting, power of prayer, God moving in families, God moving in individuals. This is the end time. This is what it's going to take. I don't know about you, but I want everything God's got to give me. I don't want to leave out of here, out of this world, and say, you know what, if I'd have prayed a little bit harder, I've got a little more. I believe that we could say, you know, when we get to that heavenly abode and we see and talk to people of old, and you will, and there's people that you'll want to talk to. Each of you have certain biblical people. I'd love to just talk with them. I'd love to just see. I'd like to talk with Elijah. I'd like to know how it felt when he was just caught up in the heaven. I'd like to talk to Daniel when he spent the night in the lion's den and got up and saw the top of the grass. I'd like to talk to these different characters. And all of these characters are going to be running to you and to I. And they'll be saying, tell us, how did it feel when Jesus came back to collect his bride? You're going to be amazed. And you're going to want to talk to these people. And you're going to want to know. And they're going to want to talk to you. And you know why? Because the first to be last and the last to be first. And there will be no uppers and lowers. And there'll not be anybody in there. We're going to all be equal in the house of God. Everybody. We're going to be brothers and we're going to be sisters. And we're going to be everybody a part of the family of God. And we need to recognize that this is where it's at today. We have got to initiate a move of God in our life where God will be able to initiate a move of God everywhere around you. Are you ready to make that commitment? I'm talking about a commitment that says, you know what? It really doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what other people do. What really matters is how I feel about myself. And I know Jesus Christ is coming again. As every head's bowed and every eye's closed, if you feel led, I just want you to bow your head and just close your eyes for just a moment. If you feel led of the Holy Spirit, you feel led of God, and you really want to make sure that you are prepared, that you're ready to meet Him, I want you to just lift up your hand, put it right back down. I'm not going to call you out. Just lift. God bless you. You and you and you. Oh, all over the building. I got both of mine up here, folks. Listen, I don't want to miss it. The greatest day, the thing I've preached about for nearly 45 years is coming to pass one day. I don't want to miss it. I want to be a part of it. Right where you sit, all you got to do is confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm going to ask everybody in the building and those of you that raised your hand, I want you to pray with me also. But everybody, I want you to just repeat after me. Father, I have sinned. I have failed you. And I know that I have. I make no excuses. I admit it. I am sinful. But you're righteous. And your righteousness is greater than my sin. Father, forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died for my sin. I confess He is the Lord of all. He is my Lord. I believe and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He has saved me from an eternity of torment. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, that's it. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it. You got it. Hang on to it. That's what it takes right there. You prayed it. You meant it. Let it go. God loves you. Don't forget to stop by and have a piece of cake with Pastor Ron. If you like prayer, ask prayer partners if you would come on up real quickly. And you may be dismissed if you'd like, but those of you who want prayer, we certainly want to take time to pray with you. So come in Jesus' name. And if you don't need prayer, don't want prayer, then go and enjoy a piece of cake with Pastor Ron.